Right, good evening. You're watching StockWatch and joining me to unpack your stock-related questions this evening are Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss and independent analyst Jimmy Muyaha. Be sure to send those questions via SMS to 41392. Email us at stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag StockWatch. Here's hoping that we still do have viewers, as we know that it's a long weekend and some people close their laptops at 1. But the markets did not close their laptops at 1. In fact, they were actually quite busy. We did have the JSC kind of confused as to which direction to go, starting off in red territory. And then when the US markets opened, all of a sudden they caught on to the optimism. Gary, I'd like to know what was behind that confusion and why in the beginning the JSC was in the red when the Fed paused.
Well, it was a hawkish pause, wasn't it? It was a pause with claws, saying that they're going to potentially hike two more times. And we saw the rand on the back foot for most of the morning. I mean, local currency against the dollar went out to kind of just under 1840 at one point. And we're now back trading 1824. So you can see that kind of like that mood shifted as the day went on. I think it was fairly hawkish. It was the idea that, yes, it's a pause for now. We want to see what's going on, but maybe things are going to get a little bit more difficult. But it was also a strange day because we've got, obviously, the public holiday tomorrow. We have the Fed announcement the day before. It was also futures closeout today. So you also had kind of like that at midday. So, yeah, like kind of funny pricing all over the place. You've got index changes coming up. So it's kind of, I don't know if it's really can be seen as a normal trading day today. So, you know, we've got the NASDAQ up, 0.7%. We've got the S&P 500, just pushing up to almost 1% up. So, a lot of positivity, a lot of optimism, a lot of risk on trade coming back into the market in the afternoon. That obviously helping to bring our currency down, lit a fire under just about everything except the resources. The resources ended about a third of a percent negative. Industrials and financials looking very, very strong, but that makes sense. I mean, financials, big banking stocks benefiting from the stronger currency and I suppose a slightly more optimistic outlook, especially on the South African economy.
Jimmy, do you think that we could find ourselves at the start of a bull market, or maybe we should brace ourselves still for more volatility? Because the Fed saying that, you know what, they're pausing, well, not really pausing, but skipping and assessing data going forward. They're going to be heavily data dependent. And I'm just wondering if we should expect more volatility, because also the data tends to be quite mixed.
Yeah, so what we've definitely seen is that the data points that come out have sort of been contrary to one another. So you'll see unemployment doing one thing and then jobs doing another thing and then the hourly labor wage rate in the US doing something else. So the data points are definitely pointing towards a variety of different things. And I think what is also set to come is markets. Well, if you look at what we sort of had leading up to today's decision, at least, there was a lot of conversation and a lot of institutional money sort of moving around saying, based on the last Fed rate decision, we feel that this is where volatility needs to be in the market. And you almost know the markets start to say, we want to develop our sort of own implied version of where inflation and things are going to peak and all of that. So there were previous times where rates announcements were made and you saw that the market reacted more so than what we thought it would, because the market was like, okay, hang on, we're tired of sitting on the sidelines until all of this is blown over. We need to be getting involved even through all of this stuff. So I think where we are at the moment is very good from a signal point of view for markets to say that the Fed has outlined that they've identified their terminal rate. They look as though things are stabilizing and the conditions are looking more conducive to get back involved in the market for anyone that was sitting on the sideline. So I think we are expecting to see volatility. I don't think we've completely bottomed out on certain things, but you can see certain points where it's a very clear indication that prices were at their lowest, market valuations then kicked in, or stock valuations kicked in, and then that boosted price on certain stocks. We saw that across various sectors and across various geographical areas as well. So I think where we're sitting at the moment, everybody's saying, okay, maybe the Fed does have it right, because we know very clearly that back in COVID 2020, 2021, and 2022, where the Fed said we have this under control, things weren't necessarily always under control. So now the market is saying maybe the worst is behind us. Maybe we can start getting back into it. But I think it's still a little too early to tell based on the fact that this is the first time we've had a pause following so many consecutive rate hikes.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get into the questions. This one is on the prospects for EOH. Listen, we've got very interesting questions today, so you guys are going to have to work today, even though it's a public holiday tomorrow. So I've been holding this stock for 4 years with only an EOH portfolio of 1 million rand worth. My average price is 3.37 rand with the current levels of 1.65 rand. If I hold another 4 more years, can it pass my 3.37 rand average price? Please, can you tell if it is a good suggestion to hold for 4 more years? Gary.
Is it a good suggestion to hold for 4 more years? Wow. EOH is it's a turnaround story, right? It's, we're kind of joking off air before this. The best way for EOH's share price to recover is to announce that it's going to do something in AI. If it was doing something in AI soon, then we'll see a massive rally and a recovery in the share price. But yeah, it's been very difficult for shareholders. Obviously, I mean, they had a deeply discounted rights issue. They've had to sell off a lot of assets, which has meant, dumping a lot of revenue. They have brought down the debt, but it's a turnaround. They're trying to patch up the business. They're trying to patch up its reputation after kind of the very public collapse. And it's tough. I mean, typically, like, our strategy isn't to buy turnaround stories unless there's a very, very compelling case. Often there's a lot of money to be made, but it's not really worth the risk. When you see kind of a macro trend affecting a really good quality company, bringing it down, if you're looking at, let's say, tech in the US, for example, something like, Meta, which is, amazing fundamentals, an amazing base. You kind of understand exactly where the problem is, that Mark Zuckerberg wanted to go absolutely berserk and spend most of the company's money building a multiverse. And then he decided, you can see where's the catalyst for it to re-rate. Yes, they're going to pull back. Where's the value in it? Yes, enormous, network effects and all of that. And why has it fallen? Because interest rates have gone up. EOH is a very different story. I mean, EOH, it's a company that has kind of reputational issues. They've sold off a lot of the assets that were making money, and they've now got to kind of find their niche in a new world. And the idea of going around to all the ICT players and, flogging your shares to them with this pitch of, hey, it's going to be better if we're all together, I don't think is going to fly, because it didn't, everyone bought into that story last time, and look where it left anyone with EOH shares. So
yeah.
I think it's a tough turnaround story. They've got to come with some new magic to the market. I don't think it's really going to be AI, but they need, I think, a compelling story to get investors excited about the company again.
Metaverse, Gary, please, we're not in the Marvel multiverse. actually, quite interesting moves that we did see on EOH today, down 6%. Jimmy, is there something specific? And 4 years, your predictions.
I think I share the sentiments with Gary. We took a look at EOH a while ago when it sort of dipped down below the 2 rand a share, when it was still at 1.80 rand, and they had that announcement just after their results saying that the turnaround story is something for people to believe in. The CEO coming out saying happy to present these sorts of results to shareholders and that sort of thing. And that's one thing. That's definitely something to be proud of. It's something to look forward to and say, as a shareholder, look, we've a lot of what was the governance issues and all of that, and some of the other issues that Gary alluded to, are hopefully behind the company. But much like the likes of Transaction Capital, you're going to need to see some level of innovation or spark or something to ignite the market. Gary hit the nail on the head there. Is if the company stays as it stands, there isn't much excitement around it. There isn't much, you sort of know where you are from a valuations point of view. You know what assets are in the business. You know what assets they have to sell off. So if suddenly you see some form of change in where their investments are going or how their investments are doing, then you might see a bit of a move. But to the credit of the shareholder holding from 3 rand, I mean, we were at 3 rand as early as the start of, I think it was January 2023. So it isn't a far stretch, but I share Gary's sentiments. You're going to need to see a lot happen within the company for it to even become remotely attractive at a large level in terms of the amount of shares that need to be traded or the amount of interested investors that need to be putting their money in. That being said, what is left in the business after the cleanup isn't necessarily the worst. It's not as though they're left with stock or assets that they can't necessarily make use of. I just think it makes for a very difficult case where you've got other companies on the JSE that are performing exceptionally well, that'll give you a good return and that sort of thing. People have to then weigh up capital allocation. But if you're an existing shareholder who's already been in and has already gone through the pain, and you're willing to hold for 4 more years, then there's very little downside for you at this point. You've gone through sort of the worst of your downside, and for you to be from R3 down to R1, you've already lost 60-70% of your value. If you then go down to zero, are you comfortable doing that, or is it one of those things where you have to sit back and say, look, over 4 years, what are the realistic chances that the assets left in the portfolio are going to go down to zero?
All right. There's a question here on, is Transaction Capital a screaming buy? Gary, you're not screaming on EOH right now and not quite keen on turnaround stocks, but would you say Transaction Capital is a turnaround stock?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a turnaround stock. Just look at their share price. So 652 at the moment. And obviously, again, I think maybe a little bit of a different story to EOH. And yes, I mean, maybe it left a bad taste in some people's mouths that directors are selling just ahead of the collapse. But I don't know. It seems to be doing all the right things to assure people that it,
Is Gary frozen?
Yeah, Gary seems to be frozen, I think.
Oh, dear. Let's just wait for him for a couple of seconds. Okay. No, let's
are
go.
You still, am I,
There we go.
Am I back?
Yes, quickly before we go to a break.
Saying,
yes.
Underneath SA Taxi, big problems, structural issues as well. So for us, it might be an absolutely screaming buy, but it doesn't suit the risk profile for what we're trying to do. So yeah, we're not diving in at this stage, especially given the local environment.
Yeah. So at these levels, 6-7 rand. Do you think that the stock has reached levels of maximum pessimism, Jimmy?
I think I'll be honest, the stock looked attractive the moment it sort of dipped below the 10 Rand a share. But something Gary mentioned that probably still sits with investors is that sour taste around the fact that the management and the exec were selling stock and getting out before the share price moved against them and to the detriment of investors. Now, the SA Taxi business, Gary alluded to as well, was something that is a serious concern. It's not recovering at the pace that they thought it would. We also don't know how long it's going to take to get back to that pace. The macro factors that are at play there around inflation, around elevated interest rates, we already know from a central bank perspective in South Africa that they do not see our inflation level coming back towards that median point anytime soon. And that's going to have a disastrous impact on the loan side of Transaction Capital business. We Buy Cars is a good business. The SA Taxi business is also a good business. They're just going through a difficult time at the moment because if you look at the We Buy Cars business, if you have these elevated interest rate levels, yes, people are not necessarily buying new cars, but they're also not affording secondhand vehicles either. So you're stuck with large piles of inventory that you're not converting towards revenue, and you could sit on this inventory for quite some time. So whether or not it's attractive at this stage, the first question was, have we dealt with all the pessimism? I don't think it's really pessimism at this stage at the moment. It's wanting to see where the revenue is going to come from. Is the SA Taxi business going to recover enough to add enough to the company's overall performance? Are they going to be able to move enough vehicles? We know they moved record number of vehicles in the last year and maybe year and a bit from the We Buy Cars business. But is that a sustainable situation at the moment? Are they going to diversify as a business into something else that might be offsetting against a slowdown in demand on the vehicle side of things? So I think at this stage, 6.50, yes, looking attractive, probably undervalued at this stage as well. But whether or not now's the right time to get in, that's a very difficult question to answer because of the macro factors that South Africa is contending with.
All right. I'm going into...
Sorry, I think, I think,
yes, Yeah, Gary?
Jimmy makes a really good point there. Like, I think the interest rate cycle is going to help transaction capital a lot. I think if you see inflation moderating and you see interest rates in the U.S. coming down towards the end of the year and the South African Reserve Bank starting to cut here, that could easily be a catalyst to light a fire under transaction capital's thing. I think that's a very good point and worth making. Yeah.
All right. Sticking with you, Gary, are there any local US or EU bank stocks that look attractive for an investment?
Yeah, I don't know about EU, like why EU specifically. I mean, typically, I mean, we like the US big banking stocks, so we hold JP Morgan and Citibank. Citibank, I think, is an absolute steal here. It's the smallest of the big four US banks, and I just look at what's happening in the US economy at the moment. And yes, everyone's kind of recession's coming, but I get the sense that this might be a little bit overblown. If you go look at Citibank's actual share price, you'll see there's like kind of a nice wide channel. You're buying below $50. I think you're going to do very, very well. As the economy in the US improves over the next 3 to 5 years, I think it's an excellent buying level at this stage. South African banks, I'm a little bit more concerned about. We've obviously, with the currency strengthening, we've had a monstrous run up in the last, say, week and a half. I mean, you're talking 10, 15% on some of these banks. So it's maybe, the timing point of view on the South African banks, I'd be a little bit more concerned about, just given the difficulties that we have. And if we continue this non-aligned stance and there's potentially sanctions, I mean, I would much rather be investing in Citibank than in a South African bank at the moment, especially off the run up, especially because I can just see this currency could be very fragile, move all the way back up to sort of 1950, and the South African banks will get absolutely slammed. Now, I'm normally very constructive on South African banks. We've been kind of putting them out as stock picks to clients and on this show before. There's been this big run up with the currency getting stronger. They're really well-run businesses, but it's the macro picture in South Africa, and especially the currency picture that I've got concerns around.
Jimmy, are you as cautious on South African banks? Is there another region that you'd rather be in or not?
No. I agree with Gary 110%. And if just to add to what he said about Citibank, if there is a recession in the US and you do see that the US does go into sort of another banking crisis and all of that, guys like Citibank are going to be able to pick up a lot more assets. The same way we saw if the consolidation of the mid-tier banks happens within the US, the bigger banks like Citibank are going to be able to pick up a lot of new business and a lot of key assets and key debt books. So very much in agreement with Gary, the offshore play at this stage makes more sense just because we've had that significant run-up on the local stocks. And I mean, Gary's conservative to say we could go back to 1950. We could very realistically go back to 20 Rand. There's still so much that is at play in South Africa alongside the load shedding, alongside the non-aligned stance, alongside the fact that we've got elections coming up next year. If we see instabilities within the South African economy, I mean, the Rand has been undervalued for probably the majority of this year, and undervalued to the extent that the Rand could probably be trading at 11 or 12, maybe even 13 Rand. If it was fairly valued. Now, yes, the Rand has got a history of being undervalued, but the undervaluation that's coming through right now is a direct function of the fact that we've got those internal issues in the country that we have to resolve. And the market is pricing those in as a huge currency risk premium, and we're suffering for that. And that's having a ripple effect on the decisions the MPC is making and that sort of thing. So the South African picture, again, Gary hit the nail on the head. Our stocks are resilient. Our stocks are good. Our companies are very good. And you're seeing that in the top 40. You're seeing that market participants, even though our bonds are below investment grade, even though the overall outlook on South Africa is not the greatest, market participants are still keeping the all share above the 70,000 point mark and above the 70,000 point mark on the top 40. So that's a clear indication that they have belief and confidence in the companies themselves. And the companies are just a function of the environment they operate in. I mean, SPAR yesterday said that they spent 700 million rand on load shedding costs. National Foods has done 750 million rand as well. So those sorts of factors are hampering profitability and affecting share price beyond the control of our executives that are running these companies. And so I think for the moment, until our situation settles, it's probably best to just stay offshore.
Wow, all right. I told you guys you're going to have to work today. There's a very interesting question here. How will the two-pot pension fund system affect the South African economy, specifically the financials and the retailers? And in the longer term, how will companies with AUM manage outflows and the requirement to keep liquid funds? Gary.
No, I think it's an amazing question, and I can exactly see what the investment thesis is there. And I haven't seen like a report really digging into it. So, I mean, I can understand exactly what the thesis is. You know, you create the two-pot system. Suddenly, you know, our wonderful huge pension system allows everyone to withdraw a third of their funds. And South Africans, being as irresponsible as we are, we suddenly take our one third and we go and spend it on luxury goods. And our retailers absolutely fly. And, you know, and our big asset managers go, oh no, look at these huge outflows that we're getting. But I mean, I can understand the thesis, but I haven't actually seen the data underneath it to understand whether that is a real risk. And my gut says that you're probably not going to see that as the result. I would probably not follow that thesis without doing a lot more research into what the underlying impact is going to be. I can see why people would believe that. It's a great story. I just don't think that you're going to find data to actually back that up.
Yeah. Is there anything to add there, Jimmy?
I'm going to show more confidence in the South African than Gary clearly does, okay? There is another side of it to obviously look at, is to say consumers have been under so much pressure and there's been so much on the interest rate side of it that we could see consumers withdrawing their thirds and paying down debt. And that has an implication on financial institutions. Financial institutions, those that have raised larger amounts of provisions could come back and recover those provisions, therefore improving the stock, or guys like retailers have smaller size credit books, that sort of thing. So you could actually see that this could be a benefit towards the South African economy. Mm-hmm. Or, as Gary mentioned, everybody could lose their mind. we really can't really tell. Because, I mean, what we saw in 2020 was everybody was at home, everybody sort of plowed money into building home office infrastructure and improving that sort of thing. And so you saw a lot of the retailers that were operating in that space benefiting from that. What a South African will do with extra disposable income is a very, very broad range of options.
Yeah, okay.
And I think this just gives them that opportunity.
All right. Quick one before we get to your stock picks. A multi-choice group declares no dividends for financial year. Will Putuma Nathi, that's the BEE share scheme, which holds SA Holding, get dividends? No? Gary?
I haven't looked at Putuma Nathi recently, so I don't actually know what the underlying mechanism, whether the dividends will be, you know, what the dividend flow is. But I mean, multi-choice, I can talk to multi-choice as a group and the underlying assets. I think multi-choice is in a very, very difficult position at the moment. I mean, you look at how competitive the streaming landscape is internationally and how easy it is for people to switch off from one to the other. I don't know. It looks very, very tough out there for any streaming provider at the moment, just because of the glut of content that's available. But I can't really talk to the underlying BEE scheme.
Can you, Jimmy, before we quickly get to your stock pick or not?
No, I haven't taken a look at the scheme. I don't really think that it wouldn't make a lot of sense around having that additional outlay of capital. But I mean, we'd have to look at what the conditions are around the scheme.
All right. Well, let's get to your stock picks, gentlemen. Quickly, Gary, what will it be?
Yeah, so mine's called the Core Global Growth Note. It's essentially a composite structured product where the payoff profile is as such. And we've got the terms from an A-rated bank, so it'll either be a Barclays or Morgan Stanley, that'll be your paper. But what you get is a 40% capital protection based on essentially the MSCI world. So it's going to be 40% US, 30% Nikkei, 30% Euro stocks. So it's more or less an MSCI world weighted basket. So you've got 40% downside protection over a 5-year period. If the markets fall and they fall 39%, you get all your money back. If they fall 41%, obviously, you know, you're going to take it as if you had bought an ETFs of that structure. But then on the upside, you get 1.9 times gearing. So if the market goes up 10%, you're going to go up 19%. The market goes up 20, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. The upside cap is 76%. And this is all in US dollars. It's a fully offshore note. And what it essentially creates for clients, and why I like this note so much, is that it kind of takes the two tail risks of a really strong market and a really weak market. In a really weak market, you'll perform the same as the market. In a really strong market, you'll perform slightly worse. But anywhere in between that, in a slightly weak market, a slightly strong market, you're going to significantly outperform just more or less 2 times better performance. And the cap, if you think, oh, that 76% cap over 5 years in dollars is too low, it's about 1.5 times what the average market performance is of the S&P 500. So you're talking about just under 12% in dollars every year as your return. So I think a really strong note. And if you worry that markets have gone up too much and you kind of need a little bit of capital protection, I believe this is the right way to go.
All right. Jimmy, quickly, we have 30 seconds left.
ARK Innovation ETF. I've given it out in the past. It's a play on tech. We've seen that the NASDAQ has performed significantly better on the tech side than something like the Dow, something like the S&P at this stage. I do note that it is quite a significant way off of the $150 highs. It's probably sitting at around $44 at this stage. And the target price there is anywhere north of 100. You've more than doubled your entry price. I do see that we could potentially come back down to sort of $35, perhaps down to even $30. But I think we've bounced off of that low quite nicely. I do like the technology play, and I like the fact that ARK as a business is still not afraid to get involved, even though they clearly got out of NVIDIA a little too early. Hopefully this turns into a much better story to tell.
All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for your time and for your analysis. Enjoy your long weekend. And that's all from Stockwatch this evening. Thanks to our guest, Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss, and independent analyst Jimmy Muyaha. Yes.